Welcome to Terra Crumbs, the Terra show by the community for the community. I'm Eli with Amani and Poppy. But before we get started, Terra Crumbs is for informational and educational purposes only. Nothing on this video is advice. Nothing we say is an inducement to make a particular investment or a particular strategy. Anything you invest in is at your own risk. Do your own research and consult with professionals. Now that we got that out of the way, it's been a while since we've recorded together, about actually just like a week. What are you guys up to? How's life, Poppy?
Well, today I spent the day writing a new bot. I can't really talk about it, but I'm hoping it's going to be profitable. I haven't tested it in production yet, so if you hear any bells going on in the background, that's my bot going off and me monitoring it. Quite an eventful week this week. Why don't we, you know, maybe dive into it? And maybe Amani, you can take this topic, as I think you're probably most versed in this. Let's talk about the Terra Nationals partnership or sponsorship or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah, no, that's awesome news. So like, yeah, this one, I've been involved pretty closely with them since I joined TFL. Even though I've been working with Mark, I'm probably going to explain this wrong and he's going to like parse my words and tell me that I got it wrong. But like, this is groundbreaking for two reasons, right? Number one, you know, Terra typically doesn't do much marketing. So I think that there are a lot of people who are just excited to see Terra like getting its name out there, or the Terra community getting its name out there. And, you know, I don't know if everyone knows, but like the scope of the visibility we're going to get is like insane, right? It's going to be behind home plate. So every single pitch of the season in Nationals Park, every single pitch in Nationals Park for the next five seasons, the big logo you see behind the plate is going to be Terra. And just imagine how many people are going to be exposed to Terra that wouldn't have otherwise. And go look it up and see what it means. I mean, the club seating, their signage all through the park. So this is the highest profile sponsorship you can get with the Nationals. Their stadium isn't branded. So stadium branding isn't a thing with the Nationals. So it's the best setup you can get. And then I think it's going to be massive for UST adoption. Within that, you know, think about, you know, the ability to pay with UST inside the stadium. And then think about like kind of the integrations that it takes to make that happen. And so you can probably imagine that the companies that accept payments within Nationals Park accept payments in other places too. So, you know, does it lead to business development relationships and all kinds of other things that could be important? So I think, the sponsorship, and you know, the price that was paid for it is like a no-brainer. It feels like just such an incredible deal. By the way, it's not like I got this deal done. I'm just like helping with operation stuff. This was well underway before I joined, just to be clear about that. And then, you know, the second thing about it was just the way it was done. It was kind of a groundbreaking way for a community, which is essentially what happened here. Obviously, the trust negotiated the deal with the Nationals, but for the community to vote in a sponsorship like this, I think is new too. A DAO sponsored a sports team, which is pretty incredible. And then maybe the third thing, I said two things. The third thing is the location is kind of fun too. but what do you guys think? What was your take on this?
I mean, so I've played baseball since I was 6 years old. I've been a big Yankees fan. And though it sucks that Terra isn't sponsoring the Yankees, which would probably be impossible, it's still like, it's a very surreal experience. I feel like we're seeing like kind of two very different worlds collide. I think, I mean, maybe I'm wrong, but I just think it's insane that, you know, you could use UST to pay for something like concessions in a stadium. Like that is groundbreaking.
So, I mean, I'll be honest. I don't know like anything about baseball. I don't watch sports. I don't have TV, cable, whatever. It was part of the reasoning behind this. I don't know if you can talk to this at all, but was part of the reasoning to target certain demographics who might be more interested in this stuff. I mean, I don't personally know what the demographics are of like baseball fans, but like, was that part of the thinking here?
Well, so just to be clear, this is a Nationals driven thing. The Nationals are trying to be, so it wasn't like we went to the Nationals to pitch this. The Nationals get crypto. The Nationals are technology focused. I've been able to meet their team. They're incredibly smart. So no, it was them wanting to do something with us. And them being like kind of forward looking enough to know that crypto is the future and that they want to be involved with it. So yeah, it definitely wasn't like a Terra, you know, it wasn't like Terra marketing department, like looking at like, you know, the list of different demographics and trying to figure out where we should focus. This was kind of opportunistic based on finding like a really cool partner that was also into crypto.
I mean, I can speak a lot to the demographic of baseball because it's the thing I pay attention to the most literally in life. An issue that's happening in baseball is that youth sports in general is that less and less kids are playing sports kind of going into this new digital age. And so there are a lot of, and especially a sport like baseball, which is very slow, you know. And I think what's kind of happening is that baseball and the MLB are kind of seeing that this isn't like numbers are going to go down, ratings are going to go down, viewers are going to go down. And what needs to happen is that there needs to be some sort of like youth injection. And I don't think there's anything more like youth driven than crypto, right?
Yeah, I think so. I hadn't even thought about it that way. I hadn't thought about it like strategically from like the Nationals perspective.
I guess the other thing is the integration of UST in the stadium. I'm curious if that's going to be, you know, something that's enabled through like Cash or Kato and some of the other projects that are building, you know, ways to use UST like debit cards and, you know, Amazon interfaces or whatever. Or if it's going to be something that TFL contributes to, because they also have a lot of experience in this field with Chai. So it'd be interesting to see how that goes and if that will have any implications outside of this project.
We thought, actually, Poppy, we thought you were going to build it for us in your free time.
Really?
I actually don't know the answer to that. Like how it's like the execution on that is not something I can really get into, but it'll be interesting to see how it happens.
Do you think we could see a Terra station on an off ramp for UST?
Say that again.
Do you think we could see a Terra station like UST on an off ramp, like just right through the app?
Oh, you mean like paid through Terra Station?
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know.
Because that would be epic for my life.
Yeah, it would be pretty cool for those of us who get paid in UST. There's a lot of cool, there's some more cool stuff around this that I don't know if I can talk about yet that'll come out pretty soon. That I think makes it even more interesting in terms of like kind of access to Nationals Park. But the other thing that was kind of, this was the fastest yes vote on a Terra proposal ever, I believe. I haven't seen any negative. I haven't seen anyone really feel like it was a bad deal. Have you guys?
Well, I'll be honest. I noticed a million no votes, and it was probably some cuck validator who didn't even read the fucking
proposal. I mean, the thing is with crypto is like there are definitely more people like Poppy than there are like me, right? I mean, like, if you don't understand sports or don't know sports or don't care, like, why would you vote yes on this? Obviously, there's a lot of people that did. But I had a really great, maybe it was an okay thought. Terabytes, we had someone reach out and they said, we want you to talk about this and we think this is a terrible idea because old people watch sports and there won't be enough exposure and marketing never works. Like, marketing is always a loss. Which I just thought was really interesting because that seems like a pretty old school opinion.
Yeah, a single voice, an anecdotal voice there.
I do love those people though.
Yeah, I mean, I think like, I don't know how you can argue that getting the Terra brand in front of millions of people, in front of a fairly captive audience at a baseball stadium is a bad thing. but
well, the other thing
I'll let
is
someone
like
else make that case.
There's only so far you can advertise within the crypto ecosystem. So like getting exposure outside of the ecosystem, I think, is quite big.
Yeah, and the whole point of Terra, right? Like this whole thing started with real world use cases, not as an insular crypto only thing. And a lot of the protocols that have launched have you know recently have been about, you know, the DeFi on Terra. That's kind of been most of the news over the last 6 months. But this is kind of just a reminder of where the original vision was with Chai in the first place.
The original vision with Chai?
Yeah, what I mean with Chai is like is real world use cases for crypto, not just all of us sitting around in a crypto circle jerk doing DeFi. What I mean is like the vision for Terra at the beginning was always payments, right? Like that was the first use case. It wasn't so that we could all build, you know, DeFi protocols and yield farm and, you know, take Luna and split it up into like seven different versions of Luna with little letters, you know, lowercase letters in front of it. And then, you know, try to figure out what they're worth, right? Like that's great. There's nothing against that, but that's not what the original purpose was. So, and I don't think that's what the long-term vision for USD is. So.
Yeah. So, you know, speaking of Luna tokens with little letters in front of them, this ad spot is sponsored by Nacho Don, and his message today is fuck Prism. If you'd like to sponsor your message on the Terracrum show, you can contact Eli.
That is true. Actual.
Wait, what are you talking about? The Nacho Don thing. Did he really say that?
Dude, he's been fucking attacking Prism for like weeks. Nonstop.
Oh, has he?
It's like every day there's a new post about how he's upset because he's not getting an airdrop.
Oh, okay. Dude, I blocked him after the Confederate flag, so I don't even see that stuff anymore. I thought he disappeared.
Oh, he put up a Confederate flag? Oh, my goodness. Dude.
Nothing
what an ad.
Yeah, he did a... And then he... Yeah, it was talking. Yeah, I'm not even going to get into it. Yeah.
I mean, Nacho Don, if you're watching this, you are an ass. I didn't
on that. So he's pissed off at Prism because of the no airdrop, like because that's been they broke
so
the trend.
There was a sizable team allocation. I think it was like 40%, or it was quite large. And he was very critical of that and very critical of the lack of airdrops. And he's not a fan of the, what do we call it? Whatever the model is that Astroport, White Whale,
the liquidity bootstrapping pool.
Yeah, liquidity bootstrapping pool. He's not a fan of that. Go ahead.
Oh, no, I was going to say since we're going to talk about it, we should talk about each of those independently, right? So like, let's start with the airdrop, right? I actually don't blame any of these guys for not doing an airdrop. Everyone's done the math on it. And don't people just dump airdrops? That's kind of what the conclusion was.
Well, okay. So I think the airdrops throughout Terra history have been done quite poorly, where they weren't necessarily capped for certain addresses who may have had like an insane amount of Luna. And so you end up with like all these whale addresses with fucking huge airdrops. And then, you know, like all the plebs, they get like pennies, you know, and it's like not even worth claiming. So you end up with all these big whale addresses just dumping airdrops. There's probably ways you could make that work. But from what we've seen, it hasn't been great.
And is Prism, so Prism didn't do any airdrops? Is that what you're saying?
So Prism did not do an airdrop. They did a liquidity bootstrapping pool where basically they allocate a certain amount of tokens to this pool. And then for a period of time, people can allocate UST to this pool. And then based on how much UST is allocated to this pool, that determines the price of the Prism token that was added to the pool. And then I don't know if this is how it was done with Prism, but generally how it's done is there's a period where you can deposit, and then there's a shorter period where you can withdraw your UST if you don't like the price, and then the event ends.
That sounds a lot more fair than airdropping is, right? If we're talking about big whales snatching up all the little monies.
Well, right? Yeah, like I thought the liquidity bootstrapping pool is a good idea. What's your take on it, Poppy? Like, price discovery is hard, right? There's no perfect answer.
I'll be honest, I don't buy Terra alts within the first 3 weeks.
I don't either. I used to. but you can't anymore, right? Because you just never know.
There's so much hype around it. There's probably these big whales getting in, and as soon as they get their allocation, they dump, and it's like every fucking Terra alt. So I would never, I mean, obviously no investment advice here, but I personally do not buy Terra alts when they are launched. I like to wait, play it slow. Chances are the price isn't going up.
So yeah, but, when you say alts, are you talking about like the Prism token, the Loop token, like stuff like that?
So Prism token, Loop token, Mirror token, Anchor token, anything that's not Luna in the Terra ecosystem, basically.
Okay. And then after 3 weeks, it's like either it's stable enough that you kind of know what the price is, or like what's the upside of buying after 3 weeks?
Well, it's not exactly 3 weeks, but generally I think 3 weeks, depending on the terms of how the token is being distributed. Like it could be a month, it could be 2 months. Like I don't want to commit to 3 weeks, but like I usually like to wait is the point.
So I'm actually going to write that down. Wait 3 weeks until.
So there's altcoin. So okay. Look, I mean, there's two things happening here, right? Like, I'd be curious. So let's go back to liquidity bootstrapping pool, though. Like, what is what's the downside of doing that? It feels a fair way to find price discovery, but maybe I'm missing something.
So it is a fair way to find price discovery, but what we've seen so far, and I think the criticism of this model and how it's been implemented up until this point, is all of these tokens that are raising funds, they basically have no use case. So like Astro token, there was no use case when it was, you know, for sale. Like nobody had any idea what you could do with your Astro token.
That's not actually true for Astro token, right? You can lock the Astro token to direct rewards, kind of like isn't that right?
They're coming out with X Astro model where you can earn fees, but I mean, at the time when it was launched,
that wasn't ready at launch. That's right.
Right. At launch, the only thing you could do with Astro is, you know, lock it in LP farm and earn farming rewards. And I don't really consider that a use case.
The LP is not a use case.
Whale token is very similar. There's like no use case for Whale other than to lock it in governance. And I think like the value capture is very, very minimal. So it just doesn't make a lot of sense. And then then you have Prism token, which is where Nacho's criticism comes from, is it's another token where there isn't a lot of use case. There is value capture. I've been running the numbers for value capture though, and it doesn't look too exciting, to be honest. So I had to restart my computer, but I had all the charts up. I was looking at Anchor Protocol. Anchor Protocol has 57 million B Luna locked in it, right? And I'm like ballparking numbers because I don't have the page up, but if Prism had 57 Luna, you know, locked into the Prism model, it would bring in like between $5 and $6 million a year in buybacks for Prism token, which it came out to like 18 or 20% annual interest. It's not a lot. It's not enough to make up for the opportunity loss of putting your money somewhere else in the ecosystem.
So wait, so you're saying the value accrual per token would come out per like liquid Prism token. Basically what you're saying is like the cash flow return would be like 20% a year.
All right. So running the numbers on Prism, assuming the current price of 29 cents per Prism token, And assuming like a best case scenario, or I would even say maybe a worst case scenario for Prism, like let's say 6 months from now, the Prism protocol has the same amount of Luna locked as Anchor does today, which would be 56 million Luna. The value capture for Prism token comes out to about 28 cents per token. So that's about 100% APR for Prism token value capture, assuming the entire supply is distributed and capturing value. So it's actually not too bad. I mean, I guess part of the criticism is right now there isn't really a use case for Prism token, but that's kind of the whole point of investing early and getting a potentially good price. I mean, I know I said earlier I don't buy Terra alts in the first 3 weeks, and I would still say that's true. Who knows?
So that's not bad. You're saying now, I mean, look, like we can argue, you can argue whether or not it'll lock the same amount of value as Anchor. Maybe it will. So you're saying if it locks the same amount of value as Anchor, it potentially 100% return per year.
Correct.
And is that a circulating supply like fully diluted, or is
Yeah,
it
that
the
assumes 70 million circulating supply.
So it's not that bad. It's just there's not
Sorry,
just
correction there. That assumes 75% of the total 70 million circulating supply is staked.
Yeah, I think it's just right now with the price, like how many people even know how to do that analysis, Poppy? Like I don't know how many people are doing like fundamental analysis on Luna tokens or on Luna or Terra ecosystem
Oh, well,
alts, and
there's
so
actually a nice little tool to do it. Maybe we can link it or something.
is it really?
Yeah, Jimmy made a tool. It's pretty cool. I'll share it
Oh,
with you
nice.
guys.
So I still don't see like what the concern with like why anyone would be upset that they did a liquidity bootstrapping pool. Look, there's not a use case for the token per se, other than it's basically acting as an equity instrument, right? It's just capturing the profit from the system.
Yeah, basically, as far as I know.
Yeah, I mean, look, this is a problem. This is a problem with it's not even really just Terra alts, right? Like governance tokens typically don't perform that well, right? And that's why you're seeing like all kinds of innovation across chains, like the V model, to try to come up with new ways of value capture for all these DeFi tokens.
I think the way to put it is for like the blue chip Terra alts. I wouldn't con consider them blue chip cryptos, but like blue chip in the Terra alt space, like Mirror, Anchor, Nexus. I feel like all of those tokens were released without running any sort of data or any sort of analytics on, what is the value capture, what is the dilution. And what can governance token holders expect from holding this token? Like, I don't think anyone did that analysis.
Yeah, and I think, and then some of them came out just way too early too, right? I mean, a lot of these tokens are just out way before the protocols are ready for them, or they've come up with some use case for them.
I have a question. So with a governance proposal token, what does that give you other than like voting power? And like why does that matter? Like if
So
I'm, yeah.
let's clarify. So governance token is it is a token that gives you the right or the ability to put up governance proposals. Those proposals could be text proposals that are just to gauge community sentiment on a certain issue. It could be, actionable proposals that make parameter changes to the protocol based on, depending on the protocol and what parameters are available to change via governance. And then what you also see with governance tokens is they are entitled to some sort of value capture from the underlying protocol. For example, Mirror Protocol captures value from the closure of CDPs, which are collateral debt positions. And Anchor capture anchor token captures value from, you know, from the loan borrowing fees. There's some sort of fee that the anchor token is collecting. And the way it collects those fees is those fees are accrued in UST, and then buybacks occur for the governance token, and then those tokens that were bought back are distributed to governance stakers.
Okay, I think I understand that. Pretty sure. What do we want to talk about next? Or do we want to keep going for a little bit longer?
I think we hammered this one pretty good.
I think so.
God, these poor. I'm just looking at these charts right now. Good Lord.
They're all terrible, man.
Oh my God.
Every fucking altcoin.
I mean, the Astro. At some point, like, you got to consider buying some of these.
Just because they're so right? Shit.
No, I mean, like,
some
I
of these are new... real. These no, are, some of these no, are really good Amani, protocols.
No, Amani, yeah. No. I'm not into the Terra alt scene. I am 100% Luna now. No fucking alts for me.
Damn, okay.
Unless you see, do. I don't know. See, I'm gonna buy some Astro at this price. I didn't realize how far down it had gone. I'm buying. I'm getting in.
Well, shit, I might as well too. All right, Poppy. There's two of us and one of you. So who's right now?
And now that you've done the math on Prism, I mean, I could take 100x returns.
That's not bad for me either. Do you think I should put my like life savings?
You mean 100% APR? No, I don't.
No, yeah, not 100x. Sorry, yeah, 100% APR. Yeah, not 100x. I think the other one. Yeah, Apollo. I'm going in on Apollo too. Those are the three.
Do you guys want to get into what's the Banky Finance, and how did we get this?
So I put it on our list because I wasn't sure if we talked about it last week, but since you're asking about it, I'm thinking we didn't talk about it.
We definitely didn't talk about it. Yeah.
All right. So Anchor Protocol is finally adding new collateral. And basically what collateral is on Anchor Protocol is it is a asset that you put up, you deposit into Anchor, and then you take out loans using that asset as collateral. And you know, if your loan goes under a certain threshold, you know, your collateral could be liquidated, which basically means a liquidator is able to purchase your collateral at a discount and repay your loan for you. So Anchor's adding its first, you know, collateral outside of the ecosystem, and it's going to be a I don't know if it's B AVAX or B, I don't know. I would assume it's B AVAX, which is a staking derivative that comes from Banky Finance, which is a protocol on Avalanche. It's very similar to like Compound or Cream, where it offers tokenized collateralized lending and borrowing.
This is big.
It is.
It's kind of, I think everyone thought that B Soul and B Atom were going to be next, right? Did you see a timeline on this when it's going to be available?
No. I would assume it's going to be very soon because they've been doing Twitter spaces about it for the past couple weeks. But no, I didn't get a date. I was in the spaces earlier today. I think they just said soon.
Of course.
Yeah. I will say there was some Anchor alpha in the Twitter spaces this morning. They announced that they are going to be shifting the tokenomics model for Anchor. But they didn't tell us what that meant. So should be interesting.
Yeah, I think that's good news though. It's good news if they have something good lined up there.
Yeah, the Anchor value capture model is pretty weak, considering, you know, how much TVL Anchor has.
Yeah, I think there's an opportunity. You know, I think, like, I'm not speaking on behalf of Anchor or Terra. I have no clue, like, what the plans are for Anchor token. People have always had a ton of ideas about how you could make Anchor token more valuable, but in the sacrifice that ends up happening in a lot of them is you make it less consumer friendly, right? Where, say, for example, you have to stake certain amounts of Anchor to access the best yields, you know? And then, but then how do you, you know, once you start bringing staking into it and you bring the token into the use case, then how do you use that? You know, how do you continue to make it kind of like a consumer product that anyone can plug into?
Like there's that, and then you also don't want to like break existing integrations, because I've seen that model used quite a lot where, you know, you need to put up some governance tokens in order to, you know, take out a favorable yield bearing position on whatever. I don't know if that's what's going to happen here, but I've seen that model being used more and more, and it does crazy things to the token price.
What do you mean? Like, what does it do? Like, what have you seen happen?
So, for example, there's a protocol out there called Defrost Finance, which is a CDP-based stablecoin on Avalanche. And they offer, so basically you can deposit BenQ, you know, yield-bearing stablecoins like DAI, USDC, USDT, and you can take out like loans that I believe you can withdraw like 95% of the value. I usually don't do that, but you can withdraw like a significant amount of value from there. Like you could almost 20x your position. But in order to take out a loan, you need to put up a MELT token, which is the governance token for Defrost Finance. And for the longest time, MELT token was performing very, very poorly. But as soon as they implemented the model where you need to burn MELT token in order to open positions, the price has just gone like parabolic. And well, in addition, they also added a collateral that earns 20% yield on curve, like three curve positions. So that's quite attractive. And so a lot of people were buying into that pool. But it seems to be working for their tokenomics.
Yeah, where is Defrost Finance? I've never even
heard of it. It's on Avalanche. It's just defrost.finance, and the stablecoin is H2O.
That's smooth.
Yeah, it's like water. They stole our idea, Eli.
our fucking NFT idea. That was going to make us millions. Oh my god. Oh yeah, Chris, if you watched the episode, Mimi actually believed that we had a water NFT project. Which is really
cool. I listened to it. It's I didn't watch it. Yeah, I heard.
It's believable.
Yeah.
We could do it.
That's the sad thing, is that it's believable.
Man.
With the state of NFTs. What should we talk about next?
Do we want to talk about shitcoins, Poppy? Have you
do you want to go
any?
Through are you gonna go through coin?
I honestly didn't do any research. Fair. For this segment, so I think that's just kind of like something I wanted to throw out there. We can cover that anytime that we're
I like that on. Idea, but you kind of pulled a real fin turn there, huh?
Oh, please.
I'm sorry.
That's what, is not that? Going in. What does that mean? What does that mean?
Pulling a fin turn?
He's yeah. telling me that I had an idea, but I'm not executing on it.
Oh, yeah, true.
That, Poppy, fuck you, sorry. That was rude. I know.
Well, I mean, you don't have to have, I mean, like, yeah, it's kind of piling on too. Let me look at this thing. What are some of these projects on the front page of CoinHall?
I would say like 60% of them are just like dog shit coins. I actually like, so like, I think this is a fun topic because if you go to like some of these websites, like, I don't know, like Doge, Terra, or I don't know what the fuck they're called. Like you go to their website and they're like roadmap, you know, coin market cap listing, roadmap yield farm staking. Like it's like the most like short-sighted, like buzzword, like just bullshit fucking roadmaps, and people just eat it up. It's crazy. Well, to be honest, I don't know if people are eating it up. These coins are performing terrible.
Yeah, I'm trying to look and see if there are some that have done really well. But honestly, the one that's held up the best of... No, never mind. I had to zoom out. Yeah, I still have... Do you guys have TNS tokens?
No, they never airdropped to me.
I'm actually... I'm a Luna Maxi currently, so... That's literally all I have is Luna. Because I believe, I'm a true believer.
Yeah, so that's basically the problem with all of our alts right now. Everyone just buying Luna.
Because, I mean, what? If it's at 50, I think it's like 52 now. Like, there's absolutely no way it's not going to bounce back like over 100. So, like, why not buy something that you are like 99% sure is going to go higher, you know?
Yeah, it's kind of one of those things, right? Do you think we've already seen the high in Luna? If the answer is no, it makes sense to ape in, right?
Poppy, do you think Luna has already hit its all-time high and we'll never see that again?
I have a long-term bag of Luna that I hold and earn. So I've actually taken it out of Anchor, so I'm no longer borrowing against my B-Luna. I just hold B-Luna in my wallet and claim the staking rewards. And it's actually quite nice. But so
you do? What are you in, like, Stater? Like, what are you doing?
No, I just hold B-Luna. I just hold it on Anchor, and I go into Anchor, and you can claim UST from B-Assets.
Oh.
Yeah. It's nice. It's not bad. It's more than I thought it would be.
Huh. Pays the bills?
Yeah. Pays
we should have... You know, one of the shows we should do someday, it would be interesting to get, like, people should comment in the YouTube comments below, is since Poppy will never share any of his money-making activities while they're making money, will he share them after they've, like, completely dried up and tell us what he was doing before?
It's funny you bring this up. I was actually thinking about this recently, and I think I want to write a book.
Are you going to write a book? So, all right. We just got rugged, Eli. He used us. He used us to get a platform to get to tens of 20s of people that watch this, just so he could write a book.
I mean,
well, I haven't started writing the book yet. So, like, who knows? Maybe it's just going to be an idea that never gets done. But, like, my goal is, because, like, some of the shit I've seen in crypto, and some of the shit, like, the days I've had in crypto, like, they are just fucking insane. Like, nobody from the real world would even think, like, this exists.
I'm gonna write a book.
I don't know, man.
I think Diary of a Degen.
Can we name it? Yeah, can we name your book?
Probably about frogs in Wonderland, or maybe something like that. I don't know.
Intriguing. I'll send you some of my thoughts if you're
frogs. Frogs? Did you say frogs in Wonderland? Like the connotations.
Yeah, it sounds kind of strange. Track Terra launch. We need to talk about that.
Yeah, let's talk about Track Terra. So
let's do it.
We launched Track Terra last Friday. It was a rough launch, I'll be honest. Like, it went a little bumpy.
What happened? Tell us about it.
What we're doing is quite complex. Like, there's a lot of complexity in what we're doing, parsing blockchain transactions, and I don't think anyone really, like, understands it, because, like, what we're doing is we're taking a transaction and we're reading the logs of the transaction and trying to determine what the fuck is going on in the transaction, and then we also need to be able to, you know, output data even when we don't know what the fuck is going on in a transaction. So a lot of our time was kind of spent around building parsers and building, you know, classifiers that help, that enable us to make it really easy to, you know, if there's, like, a new protocol launched on Terra, like, it'll make it really easy for us to just go in there and plug in some details so that our software can now identify these transactions and classify them. So that's where a lot of our effort was spent. The issues we ran into on launch were, I mean, it was nothing, like, major. Like, I was expecting there to be some issues. It just went a little rougher than we had hoped. But part of it was because we weren't deploying everything within a containerized environment. And the reason for that is because we wanted to be able to iterate on our deployed version of software very quickly without having to deal with Docker and all that stuff. So we ran into network issues and we had to reconfigure things, and eventually we got it all working. We launched on Friday, and we've already iterated. I believe we've pushed out two updates so far. to improve the quality of data that we have, improve some of the parser functionality. Right now, we are working with Crypto Tax Calculator, helping them integrate our API. So Crypto Tax Calculator will be supporting Terra very soon. We've also reached out to some other vendors that are using our beta CSVs. Right now, it's just CoinPanda. So we reached out to CoinPanda. We're trying to get them to integrate with our APIs so they can offer like a more streamlined experience for Terra users. We haven't had too much luck getting a response from Coinly, and CoinTracker hasn't been very responsive, so we're kind of working those avenues. And then we also have a update coming out later this week that is going to solve some import issues and various UI improvements and that kind of stuff.
Cool. So when will we?
I think we should have.
We expect the Track Terra token. Will that be coming out pretty soon?
There's no need for a Track Terra token, Eli.
So you've heard it here first. Alpha Terra Crumbs. Yeah. Track Terra token coming March 2022.
I was actually thinking we should invite Tom from Loop on just to kind of walk through all of the mistakes that were made during the Track Terra launch.
Oh my goodness. How much fun would that be?
I think it would be amazing. So Tom, reach out if you would like to do that. If you want to do like a post-mortem with us.
Yeah, if you want to research Poppy's project and then just let us know.
I can't even get Tractera to show up. Is it what's the
I got
Tractera.org, dude.
There's an online chat website. Oh, we're gonna spam this. Oh my
Wait, no, goodness. See, that's what I mean. Like Eli, you're getting the exact same thing as me. Eli
what,
and I
what
are getting
you
like
about?
Like your name isn't like your URL is not working, dude.
No. It's definitely working.
Wait, here, let me share my screen. We're getting like this weird like link
fuck?
Website.
Oh shit. Did my DNS just expire today? Oh
man. Eli, this stays on.
This
I'm gonna fix this right now.
Fuck oh my goodness. Me. This should get us so many views.
That's what you get for registering your domain on Namecheap.
Cheap is in the name, Poppy.
Bro, Namecheap is the best.
Oh.
I guess like Tractera has been going for that long, like a year.
Like I said, Tom, if you would like to come on the show and talk about this,
oh please.
We will save a slot for next week.
What is going on here? No, it looks like my SSL is expired. My domain's not expired.
I think we should call it Tractera's Rocky Launch.
Ooh, Tractera's like Tractera failure for the ages. Or it'd be like something like Tractera worse than Loop. Oh, Tractera versus Loop. That could be it.
Oh my god, guys. All right. It should be back up soon.
Did you just fix that while we were on the
Yeah, I just fixed that real quick.
I don't know how you should walk us through that. That would have been such great content. You showing us how to redo your website. Re-up.
All right. What else do we have? Do we want to give Kato even more PR or do we want to do XDeFi?
I don't know a ton about XDeFi. I just saw that. Wait, Poppy, did you put this up?
I didn't put that up.
Maybe I did.
XDeFi.
Well, okay. Actually, we haven't talked about Kato in a really long time, so I'm cool with.
You want to talk Kato?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm biased because I have a bag, so.
It looks like they actually did something useful for once.
Yeah. Is it? So.
Got him.
Do you want to talk about it? Do you see what they did?
Oh, I mean, I haven't. I just saw that like you can actually on and off ramp stuff, which is actually pretty crazy, right?
Yeah, this is kind of a big deal. I don't know, is it? I haven't been able to get on Twitter because I've had like crazy hours lately, but yeah, this is pretty impressive. I was able to use it. I was able to get into the beta program. Like onboarding into Terra now, into UST, takes like less than 5 minutes. Which it's shocking that has, like, given the size of Terra at this point, that that's a new thing, but Yeah, their ramp product is pretty amazing.
So it's beta though, so it's not open to the public yet.
Yeah, it's not, I don't think it's open to everyone yet, but if you got in early and or not, I don't even think you had to get in early. They were advertising it and you could put your name on and yeah, it's super straightforward. I mean, at this point, in the past you would have to either buy on an exchange, send it to KuCoin, and then send it, convert it to UST, and then send it to your UST wallet. With Kato Ramp, I think it's as simple as you just kind of basically enter your credit card, enter your Terra address, and it's done. And I think the fee is only like a couple of dollars, no matter how much you're sending. So it's like a flat fee per transaction.
My
So
question is like,
obviously, that's not a great thing if you're doing like $10 or $15 or something like that. But if you want to move, big amounts of money in it, the cost is basically negligible.
do they also have an off ramp though, or is it just an on ramp?
Just an on-ramp. I think their whole thing is like live your life in UST or something like that.
Huh, okay. That's
I
pretty
should
cool. I
know.
wonder if it's gonna work in I don't know, random places like New York. Like totally random. New York is a
Fuck New
random
York.
place.
Fuck New York.
Yeah, seriously. Well, not really. That's my hometown, but I'm not gonna lie.
No, really. Like, fuck New York.
It's true. I can't even bet, man. I can't even do sports
Like,
betting.
I would love to buy some cheap property in New York, but I can't because if I move to New York, I can't have a fucking Coinbase account.
Yeah, that's the reality.
Yeah, it's not, it's, yeah, New York City's an incredible place, so it's not about fuck New York, but the restrictions are insane. You can't do anything, can you?
No, I mean you can. No, you
You can
can't.
have
I
a
mean, you can
there,
have like a KuCoin.
there's a few actors that will allow you to register in New York that are actually abiding by the bullshit New York policy. KuCoin is not one of them. I believe it's Gemini, and Coinbase might be an option. I'm not
Well,
sure.
so Gemini, you can buy Luna on Gemini. I've done this. I've experienced this, but you can't like send it anywhere. Essentially, you're just holding Luna to hold Luna, which is pretty, I mean, it's not useless, but there's so much you can't do with it. Like you can't use Kraken, you can't use Binance. Coinbase is really hard to use. You can like kind of mess around with it with a VPN, but at the end of the day, crypto is just not for New York, or New York's not for crypto, either or.
Yeah, I think it's inevitably that's going to change.
I mean, I hope so.
It's funny because like New
Anyway.
York mayor is accepting his paycheck in crypto.
Yeah, New York is pretty shit sometimes.